We're continuing with our temporary format on Sunday nights of two short lessons. And so I'll be presenting the first one, be about 15 minutes on a doctrinal topic. And then Jacob is going to, we'll have, sing some more. And then Jacob will have our second lesson. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be talking for a few minutes here about what it means to be dead in sin. We're going to be looking at how this is viewed by Calvinists and what the Bible says about it. So hopefully, one, we will better understand what Calvinists think and equip ourselves to be able to talk to them and help study with them. Secondly, to reinforce our understanding of the biblical text. Now, this passage, lots of things in the Bible. Two people can read the same verse and they will see different things because they have loaded ideas of what those terms mean. So, for instance, a Seventh-day Adventist, if he sees Jesus say, "Keep my commandments," to him the word commandments automatically means the Ten Commandments. So he thinks that's what Jesus is saying. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, there are certain words, and when you see this word or that word, you just hear it the way you thought. Or if you're raised in a Catholic country and you see the word baptism, that's christening a baby. Well, dead in sin means something very different to a Calvinist than what you understand it to be, and I believe what the Bible is saying it is. So it's in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says in verse 1, "You did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, when you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and powers of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. Raised us up with him, made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for him that we should walk in them." Now, this is a book by Calvinists. It's my favorite book on Calvinism. It's by Edwin Palmer, who was a well-known Calvinist and helped produce the, he was involved in the NIV and the NIV Study Bible. And he's defending Calvinism, he's teaching Calvinism, and on his section on total depravity, he says what it is and what it isn't. He says total depravity doesn't mean that you're the worst possible you could be. Maybe you only want somebody dead instead of murdering them. Maybe you only lust to commit adultery instead of actually committing adultery. So he says total depravity doesn't mean you're doing the absolute worst you possibly could, but what it is, he says in his chapter on total depravity, it's only and always sinning. So if you're not one of the elect, all you ever do is sin. You always sin and you only sin. When you steal from someone, you sinned. And when you give food to a hungry person, you sinned. When you disobey your parents, you sinned. And when you obey your parents, you sinned. When you cheat on your wife, you sinned. And when you don't cheat on your wife, you sinned. You're born spiritually dead. And that's all you will ever do is sin. He says it's the inability to do good. Man cannot do good. Man cannot understand good. Man cannot desire good. So to them, spiritually dead, you're like, there's nothing in you that can respond because you're dead. So you look at a corpse. Does that corpse desire to do something? Does it understand something? Is it trying? No, it's just lying there. And so he puts it like this. Paul used the analogy of resurrection in Ephesians 2 when he said, he made you alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. Fifth verse, you were dead through your sins. Some verifying Christians interpret these verses as meaning man is injured or sick, but not dead. For they say man still has the ability to ask God's help for salvation. Man has the power to believe or not believe. He's not really dead, for if he were, he could not ask for help. He's only sick. Yes, full of sin, sick with sin, but he can still ask the doctor for help. The Calvinist holds the plain teaching of Scripture and says, no, he's dead. He cannot even open his mouth. Nor does he have any desire to call a doctor to help him. He's dead. And those who aren't Calvinists, he said, they compare the unregenerate to one who jumps out of a second-story window, cracks three ribs, breaks his leg, and still lives. The man knows he's injured, needs a doctor. In fact, he can call for help from a passerby, drag himself to the phone call and call for a doctor if he wants to be made whole and well. The Calvinist, however, would compare man to one who jumps off the top of the Empire State Building. He is splattered over the sidewalk. Even if there were anything left of him when he landed, he could not know that he needed help, let alone cry out for it. That man is dead, lifeless, cannot desire to be made whole. Does everybody see their argument? All right, now we're going to make three quick points about it. And number one, we're going to see that the point of Scripture is not that dead is unconsciousness. The point of Scripture is that it is separation. Their argument is based on the fact, because he's dead, he can't do anything. Well, and so let's go back to Ephesians 2. It said what in verse 1? You were dead through your sins. And verse 5, you were dead through your sins. Look at verse 11. This is where we stopped reading. Wherefore remember that once you Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is circumcision, verse 12, you at that time were what? Unconscious? Couldn't think? No, you at the time were what? Separate. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Why am I not hearing your prayers? They were praying. Why was he not hearing them? Because your sins have separated you from me. Adam and Eve in the garden, when they sinned, are they made spiritually unconscious? No, they're what? Separated from him. That's the point of death there. And the last verse we'll use on that is Luke chapter 15. When the prodigal son does what? Comes to himself. He says, how many servants in my father's house have enough bread to spare? I'm going to go back to my father and say, I've sinned. I'm going to go back and say, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. He goes back, and what does his father say? This is my son that was dead and is alive again. It doesn't mean he was unconscious. He wasn't aware that he was in a pig pen, didn't desire to be somewhere else in a pig pen. He had been separated. So that's the first flaw in this. Second flaw is that not only is there a consciousness of the dead, but you see them desiring and being conscious, both in Luke 16 and Revelation 6, the wicked and the righteous. In Luke 16, remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Which one is dead in his sins? The rich man. And then he's dead physically. And what, as he is in torments, is he asking for? Please have a little mercy. Please send him back there. Is he unaware? Is he unconscious? No. He's physically dead, but he's wishing for something different. And the righteous, Revelation chapter 6. The souls under the altar that have been beheaded or what? They're asking for that. So that's two of the points. And then the last point, as we finish up here, is it's the old cart before the horse thing. In Calvinism, they've got the order wrong. They believe that because you're dead spiritually, that's kind of why you sin. The baby is born in sin, guilty of sin. It's just the baby is sinful when it's born, and because it's dead spiritually, every single thing it does is sin. What does the Bible teach? Does the Bible teach we sin because we're dead, or does the Bible teach we're dead because we sinned? And so let's put consider these three passages. Romans chapter 5, a passage that Calvinists will often go to, and that passage says what? It says, going back to the time of Adam, therefore as through one man sinned into the world, and death through sin, which came first? Sin. What was the result? Death. So death passed to all men, and what does it say? Why? Because all sinned. And then if you turn over to Romans 7, what does Paul say? I was alive once apart from the law, but then sin came and I died. So instead of because you're dead, you sin, the biblical pattern is because we've sinned, there is death. Two last texts, James chapter 1. What does it say? It says, each man is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then lust, when it conceived, bears sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings death. And lastly, Ezekiel 18. Not the soul that is dead sins, it's what? The soul that sins shall die. So we can see the argument that they make and the illustration that they use, but they're missing the biblical point. Thank you for your attention. Let's have another song.